This week, a little something different. We have the NFL dads. Two dads whose sons are playing in the NFL, and they become good friends. It's Ja'Marr Chase's dad, Jimmy Chase, and Jameson Williams' dad, James Williams. So Ja'Marr, of course, a rookie superstar with the Bengals last year, coming out of LSU, teaming up with Joe Burrow once again, and taking the lowly Bengals, taking them all the way to the Super Bowl. Jimmy Chase has become friends with Jameson Williams' dad because their agent is the same agent, Rocky Arsenault, who I've known for years. He was Marshall Faulk's agent, Ezekiel Elliott. We even had Clyde Edwards-Helaire on the show when he was just getting drafted by the Chiefs. He's had a ton of players, Eric Dickerson, and now he's got these young wide receivers. So the dads have sort of hit it off. We've even talked about maybe a podcast or a YouTube channel where it's the NFL dads talking about their weekly travels, going to all the games. Jameson Williams, St. Louis kid from Cardinal Ritter, who went to Ohio State, didn't get a ton of playing time, and switched to Alabama and, became an All-American and ends up drafted number 12 overall by the Detroit Lions, coming back from a ACL injury, still a first-round pick. So the dads are the guests this week. We should have done this back in June. Right around Father's Day. Jimmy Chase, good Louisiana guy outside of New Orleans. And James Williams, we talked here in St. Louis. He's got a barbershop up in North City. We did the interview right outside the barbershop. So you'll hear more from these two NFL dads. It's not going to be the title of this show, by the way. But they both made fun of me and said, can we get something catchier than that? But these guys have great personalities and fun to catch up. And what it's like watching your son succeed at the highest level and overcoming some of the challenges along the way. Like Jimmy Chase says, my son was like, hey, I want to hang out with these people. Hey, I want to be out late at night. He's like, nope, not doing any of that. And now it's paid off big time. And Ja'Marr Chase is a superstar in the NFL. We're hoping that Jameson Williams stays healthy, and he also has a great career playing up in Detroit. So James Williams, Jimmy Chase, a two-for-one here as we get set for the kickoff to the NFL season. It's the Kilcoin Conversation presented, as always, by Triad Bank, the neighborhood-friendly bank. And I say it all the time, if your bank isn't friendly, something wrong. It's your money. They should be nice to you. If you're looking for a home loan, a car loan, business loan, talk to the folks who have been based in St. Louis since 2005. Located in Frontenac on Clayton Road, also the new location just west of 270 on Olive, or always online at triadbanking.com. Marie DeVilla Senior Living, located at the corner of Clayton and Wideman Road, premier spot for your senior years. Villa estates, assisted living, memory care, all levels of care on that beautiful 60-acre campus. MarieDeVilla.com. Take a virtual tour. MarieDeVilla.com. MarieDeVilla.com, the spot for your retirement years. B&G Tuck Pointing, where they are the best. In the bricks. What does it mean? Well, you got a brick home, brick garage. You want it to look new again? Get a free estimate for the folks at B&G Tuck Pointing. Make that home look brand new again. It's unbelievable what will happen when you get the tuck pointing redone. They also do foundation repair, waterproofing. Check out some of the great examples of their work at bgtuckpointing.com or call my guy, Rich Galati, at 363-0525. 314-363-0525 to get that free estimate, get that work done from the folks at B&G Tuck Pointing. And appliance discounters, pretty simple. Biggest names in the appliance world sold at the lowest prices. TheAppliancedIscounters.com, the website all around the St. Louis area. Look for those great General Electric deals too. Rebates on washer, dryers, stoves, refrigerator. General Electric, a name you know, you trust, and because it's appliance discounters, you know you're getting the lowest prices on your appliances. TheAppliancedIscounters.com, where their savings are your savings. First up, it's Jameson Williams' dad, James Williams.
All right, my guy, James Williams is on. Not just Jameson Williams' dad, but a guy who played a little football himself, St. Louis guy. And just tell me the excitement. When I say your kid's a first-round draft pick in the NFL and you're a dad who was probably going to practice when he was four or five, what does this all mean to you?
Most of it is unbelievable because, you know, most of the time from this area, it's really hard to see a kid access his dream or be able to touch his dream just from the circumstances of growing up in the neighborhoods that we have grew up in.
And he goes from Ohio State to Alabama. I've said this several times. Most people leave a big-time program. They say, I want to play more. Then they go down a level or two. Not the case. Your son went from Ohio State to Alabama. Tell me about that decision just before. We know it went well, but tell me about the decision itself.
Well, when it first started, it was already down to Alabama and Ohio State. He really fit Alabama mold better because he's a carbon copy of Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs, all those guys, Jaylen Waddle. He's built similar in stature, and he has speed like those guys got. And, I mean, when Nikki Baby calls you, you got to kind of, like, go. You understand what I'm saying?
Hold on. You say Nikki Baby?
Yeah. When Nikki Baby calls, when the boss calls, you answer. You understand what I'm saying? So I mean, the boss say, hey, you want to play some football? I see they not using you over there, correct? Yeah, I like to go. You understand what I'm saying?
I do, except I got to get up off the floor. I'm not used to people calling Nick Saban Nikki Baby. Tell me you've never said that. Have you said that to his face?
Yeah, that's one of my guys right there, man. We have a different type of relationship, just as well as you see him and my son have a different relationship. If you could see on TV now how Nikki, he gives fives, he shakes hands, he dabs the kids up. He's not really uptight like everybody portrays him to be.
It does seem like he's having a little more fun. Maybe once you called him Nikki Baby, that changed everything. how quickly when Jameson got to Bama, though, did they say, all right, this kid is going to start? I mean, he ends up being an All-American. He's a superstar.
Before he got there.
I mean, so right away, did they tell him, hey, you come here, you play?
Well, it's kind of hard not to play when you are better than everybody else that they have. You know, you understand what I'm saying? So when they went in the transfer portal, this is how Nick does it. Nick don't go in the transfer portal just to pull out kids. Nick go in the transfer portal to pull out kids that can add to his team, to add to his success. And when he went in there and got Jameson, that was his goal, to add to his success. And plus, Nick had already recruited us crazy-like.
Well, I guess that's true. You go back even to the high school years, you have those relationships. Was Ohio State, you think they regrets it, or was it just circumstance it didn't work for him up there?
If I was them, I'd regret it.
Who's more confident, you or Jameson?
Him.
Okay, because dad's got a little swagger here.
It's handed down. It gets better with that.
Well, what changed for Jameson? Was it the A&M game where the whole world said, man, this kid's pretty good?
Yeah, I think that's when the world took notice. But I really think everything changed when he took that 95-yard at 23 miles an hour when there's only been one person in the NFL that run 23 miles an hour ever. And he's the second.
I'm trying to think who would have been the first. Now, Ronaldo Nehemiah was a track star that played in the league. Do we know?
Yeah, but they didn't have these type of apparatuses where they can judge your speed then.
Right.
But I'm talking about recently, and it's a guy that you would never guess who ran 23 miles an hour.
Well, if I would never guess, I'd say Tom Brady. But do you tell me? I don't know.
Raheem Mostert.
Oh, okay, the running back that had a breakout. Didn't he have a breakout game for the Niners a couple years ago?
Yes, sir, and that was the game he ran that 23 miles an hour in.
Oh, all right. See, it all comes together. Okay, so your son's on the map, obviously, and then they go to the SEC championship game, and he's huge again. Mm-hmm. Is that when you said, okay, now we're talking NFL?
No, we was talking NFL when we left Ohio State. The goal was always NFL in 3 years for him.
At what age did that start?
Eight.
Age eight. So at age eight, you're thinking, hey, this kid's going to be in the NFL.
Yeah, because, you know, at that time, you know, he had started getting pretty good. He was already fast, but he was getting acclimated to the game. And he's naturally an athlete. So, you know, me and my guy, which was his head coach in Little League at that time, you know, we just casually talking. And, you know, we hang out all the time. And, you know, we walking up on his porch. And, you know, I'm having some dad discrepancies with the team, as usual, you know. and he telling me, man, just chill. You know, your son got changed his life talent. And when he said that, I was blown away. And he looked at me in my eyes, and he was like, not only do we got change your life talent, he got change everybody's life around him talent. And at that point in time, it was like for me to get in gear as a dad and make sure that he has every avenue, everything, every bell and whistle, every street cleared, the best education, everything that I could do as a father, a mentor, a leader, a guide, I had to do that then.
Did you ever have to back off? I mean, the coaches say, dude, that's an, I mean, because you don't want to be the psycho dad. You care. You're involved. Did you walk the line?
Well, it's a fine line between psycho, crazy, and genius. Back then, they all called me psycho and crazy. But now everybody asks me questions like I'm some sort of genius, you know?
Well, there's Richard Williams and Serena and Venus turned out all right. The Ball family. Now, Dad,
that's right.
The Ball. Now that,
that's all the same. They called us crazy. LeVar, Richard, Joe. What's my girl name? The Clark sister's mama. All of us are the same because we see different for our children. And when we see different for our children, it's kind of hard to get in between a parent's vision and a coach's goal. You know, they don't mesh well all the time.
Now, who's Joe? Joe Jackson?
Joe Jackson.
Well, what about Earl? What about Earl Woods?
Earl Woods is another one. Yeah. Hey, I could go on and on and on. You know what I'm saying?
That's my guy Luis right here just threw that out at me. Nailed it, Earl Woods. All right, so you're driven, you're passionate. Obviously, though, the kid has to have talent. We know that. And does he have that same drive and determination to make everyone's life better, not just make it to the NFL, but does he want to change lives?
Just wait and see. The movie just not beginning, brother. movie is just not beginning.
All right. So I love your positivity and your energy, but what about in the national championship game, blows out his knee? That, how could that not be devastating? I know he ends up being a first-round pick, but at that moment, I would think there had to be some despair.
Well, the only despair was that he's been a kid that has always been able to carry his team to the championship. But we've never been able to muster up a win. It's always been something. And I think that was the thing that really, like, crushed him, that this was his opportunity again, and this happens. It wasn't really about worried about first round because we already were solidified there with your body of work that you had did. And then we ran in with the best team out there, Rocky Arsenal Alliance, the family. So it's not a question with that.
So the injury happens. NFL scouts are saying, don't care. We're still going to take him. When do you know that he's on Detroit's radar?
We really didn't know, honestly. I mean, Detroit was kind of like a pleasant surprise. How about that? Mm-hmm. Because we really thought that he was going to be the first receiver off the board in Atlanta. And then we come down to the Jets at number 10 because the Jets said that they would take him, but they wouldn't take him at number 4. They would only take him at number 10 if he made it that far. And then New Orleans, one of our favorites, traded up. And they didn't take him. So here comes Detroit with their magic. Nobody in the world thought that Detroit could trade from number 32 to number 12.
And they did.
But
I'm saying that because of that, they basically targeted him, right? They made it, even though he's coming off the injury.
They got him.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when does he expect to debut? When's he going to be back on the field?
I would say 10-23 would be the target date. Don't hold me to that, but that's the target date. And I don't know if you are versed with Detroit Lions football, but this has been the first sellout in 3 years. It's the first sellout nine Thanksgiving game in 5 years.
So the hype is coming. You're saying, and Brad Holmes, the GM, he was a PR intern with the St. Louis Rams. I used to see him at Rams Park back in the, how about that kid?
Yeah. And Brad is a great guy. I love Brad. He's like a big brother to me. He's real. He comes with the truth, and he ain't going to sugarcoat too much.
Well, they targeted Jameson. They take him in the first round. He goes to Detroit. Some families be like, oh, man, going to the Lions. But you love this. You love the idea that going even to the city of Detroit, maybe you can make a difference.
Not maybe make a difference. We're going to turn Detroit on his head. Honestly, when he got drafted to Detroit, I walked down the hall screaming, We want the doctor. Ooh, ooh, Dr. Detroit. You know, and people didn't understand what I was saying, but I'm a big movie buff. And I don't know if you've seen the movie Detroit.
Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. We going to take down mom. That's it. You know.
Oh, they think you're crazy. No, James.
We say I am a little crazy, huh?
What's your dream for your son then at the NFL? What? I mean, he already had a great college career, what he did at Alabama. What do you want to see? What do you think is possible at the NFL level?
Man, honestly, gold jacket.
Let's set the gold bar jacket high. Yeah, might as well set the bar high. Why not?
Gold jacket. Well, that's going to be the end game.
It's a great goal, and we're going to talk to your buddy Jimmy Chase, who's Jamar Chase's dad, and how about he go talk about going to a franchise that nobody seemingly would want to go to. He goes to the Bengals. He's the offensive rookie of the year, ends up in the Super Bowl. I guess you two have been talking. Anything's possible.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it's almost like time is repeating itself. He goes to Cincinnati. They was terrible. They turned out good. He goes to Detroit. They was terrible. Watch the movie. It's going to be a great ending. Don't go to sleep.
I love your passion. I love your energy. And, hey, looking forward to this rookie season for Jameson. It's going to be fun.
Me too. I'll be there Sunday.
So that was James Williams, his son Jameson, hoping to make his NFL debut at some point this season with the Detroit Lions. But James is also good friends with Jimmy Chase, whose son Jamar Chase exploded onto the scene into the NFL last year, a monster year, offensive rookie of the year, kid out of LSU, ends up playing in the Super Bowl with the Bengals. And we now talk to his dad, Jimmy Chase, part of the Kilcoin conversation as well. And we've never met, but we have the mutual friend in Rocky Arsenault. And I love this story, this idea, the NFL dads, what they have learned, what they have to share. And good to talk to you. I'm going to ask first, I hope you weren't at that LSU game.
No, I didn't get a chance to make it. I was at like a little watch party. And then, you know, that turned out to be a whole mess too, but yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Good for you for not being there. That was a mess. But hey, let's just talk about, I've asked James about, you know, when his son gets picked by the Detroit Lions, there's not a lot of jubilation initially, but for most people he was, but I said, because that team hasn't won. How about when Jamar got taken by the Bengals? Now they haven't had a lot of winning. But because Joe Burrow was there, was that the perfect spot?
Well, let me give you a little hindsight, right? In the beginning, I was like James. It was not the perfect spot, okay? We didn't want to go to Cincinnati. We didn't know anything about Cincinnati. All we knew about Cincinnati. Well, not I ain't going to say we. I'm going to say me, okay? I didn't want him to go there because Cincinnati wasn't doing anything. But he wanted to go because he was excited about Joe. And I was like, that was cool, but that was the only silver lining in the whole process. But, you know, I wasn't excited about that at first, but fast forward to today, it turned out to be the best thing that could have happened to us.
Oh, monster season. And the Bengals, you know, end up in the Super Bowl. What was the ride like for Dad? How often did you get to games?
Oh, I go to every game.
Every game, okay.
Home and away. I mean, like, that's what we've been doing our whole life. Like, why are we going to stop going to games now? You know, but the ride was like the same ride that we had in LSU championship season. Every week, it was talking about we was facing an opponent that we was not going to be able to beat, and it beat them. And then the next thing you know, I didn't realize we was in the Super Bowl until the end of the game in Kansas City. I was like, the Super Bowl was never a thought. And then the clock ticks out, and the next thing I know, like, damn, baby, we're going to the Super Bowl. It's crazy.
Well, you guys weren't supposed to beat the Titans. You weren't supposed to beat the Chiefs. Right. Tell me, and that Chiefs game, that Kansas City game, you're at Arrowhead, which is an incredible environment. That's one of the more epic playoff games ever. What was it? Were you holding it together okay, or were you panicking?
No, I'm always cool under pressure, okay? But you got to go back further than that. We wasn't supposed to beat the Raiders because Cincinnati never won a playoff game in, I don't know, so many years. But it wasn't supposed to beat the Raiders. It wasn't supposed to beat Tennessee. Wait, before that, it wasn't supposed to beat Kansas City at home first when Jamar broke the record, okay? And then the rookie record for the most yardage. And then from then on, we was never supposed to win, and they won every game. We really should have won the Super Bowl, but you know what happened to that. So I'm going to leave that alone. That's another story.
Hey, listen, you're talking to a guy in St. Louis where the Rams left. You had a lot of Bengal fans that day, okay? You had a lot of folks heartbroken to see L.A. get handed the Super Bowl trophy by just the way the NFL wanted it. But I'll leave it at that as well.
Right, right.
When did you know Jamar was going to be a star? At what age did you say, man, I think he could play on Sunday?
I'm going to say in the LSU championship game when he went off. You know, I was like, he's doing this on a big stage on national television for the championship. He might be working with a little something. I'm always hard on my son, you know. But I kind of like my eyes got opened up in that game.
So before that, you thought what? He's just going to be a great college player?
I mean, he was all right. He was all right. You know what I'm saying? He just didn't have any stiff competition. He needed some more competition. I needed to see somebody that was better than the guys that they were playing. You know, didn't realize he was playing the top guys at the same time anyway. You know, so.
Well, if you're tough on him, what was the critique last year? I'm going to think there's probably nothing. I mean, that couldn't have been a better year for your son.
No, well, that ended that year. The critique ended that year. You know, he told me at the LSU Florida game, right? Because I had to school him before every game, give him a pep talk. Tell him what to look out for, and who to watch, right? Like, we was playing Florida, and we played C.J. Henderson. And I'm like, look, you got to watch this guy. He's pretty good, and he does this, and he does that, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do that. And he's like, Dad, just chill. He said, just watch the show. Just watch the show, Dad. And he went out there, and he had 8 catches for 220 yards and 3 touchdowns. And he came to me after the game. He's like, what? So after that, I ain't had nothing else to say. I just watched the show.
Hey, that's one way to shut that up. That's the way. You know, I mentioned going to the Bengals and Joe Burrow being there. They win a college championship at LSU and then teammates in Cincinnati. I read this story about how Jamar found his house. Is this true? He just knocked on doors. Is this true? Have you heard this? Like, near Joe Burrow's house, Jamar's knocking on doors. Said, listen, I got a bunch of money. I want to buy your house. And finally somebody said yes.
No, that's not true, man. That's not true.
Oh, that's a myth. Okay.
That's a myth.
Okay. Well, it's a great story. It's not true. How about that friendship? Have you ever heard that story before?
Yeah, I heard that foolishness. Okay. Jamar and Joe have the same real estate agent. Okay. And she just happened to have another house that was in the same neighborhood as Joe and had Jamar look at it.
So somebody added some real bullshit to that story. Okay.
Yes. They throw shit against the wall.
How did those two, other than playing together, though? But it seems like they're pretty tight.
How did they what?
How did that relationship grow? Those two.
Well, like Jamar said, it grew over the summer of the season, the championship season. Right? They worked out on their own. Every day, him, Jets, and Terrence Marshall, and a couple of other receivers. And him and Joe started doing things together, watching film, catching balls, and just hanging out. And I guess they started trusting each other. But the biggest secret is that a lot of people don't know, is Jamar and Joe is like the same person. Like, they're familiar, they're similar in their style and their approach and the way they do things. And I guess that's why they connect with each other so well.
And you and Joe's dad, you guys are friends as well?
Yeah, we're good friends. You know, we smoke them if we got them, you know?
That's your thing, right? On Twitter, it was the last picture I saw. May have been Super Bowl. You and Joe Burrow's dad, smoke them if you got them.
Yeah, you know, like last year, and I told him when I seen him this year, right? Last year, we had to see them before every game, right? Because that was our good luck piece. Me and my wife ran into him and his wife. You know, they usually win a game. So we go looking for them before the game. They look for us, and we'll catch up with each other, shoot the breeze, and then we'll go watch the game. And usually they win. So we got to do that again this year.
Smoke them. Are you smoking a cigar right now?
Yeah.
Smoke them if you got them. So tell me about Jamar. He's already made a bunch of money, but he's going to make a whole lot more. How do you guys keep that under control? How do you, does, if he says, Dad, I'm buying 4 Lamborghinis, you said, no, you're not. What does he spend his money on so far?
He bought a house, bought a couple of cars, and he bought his mom a car and stuff like that, and got me a little vehicle. So he basically bought a couple of things for himself and some jewelry. And I told him, okay, now you got enough of stuff. It's time to chill, you know.
Now you said mom got a car, you got a vehicle. So what was mom's car and what was your vehicle?
Well, he got mom a Maserati for her birthday. He surprised her with it, a Maserati.
You're never going to be able to get your wife a present that tops that.
Right. I'm dead in the water, okay?
So she gets a Maserati. What'd you get?
I got a S-Class 580.
Oh, you're fine. You guys are fine.
Yeah.
Well, what's it like? You said you're cool under pressure, but just tell me about the pride on game day and watching. We talked to James Williams about watching Jameson explode at Alabama, his NFL stock going up. Then he has a devastating injury in the championship game, but still comes back, first round pick. And he talked about just the emotions of being a dad, watching that son. You remember probably when he was playing football when he was 5 or 6. What are the emotions for you watching?
It's a sense of pride. You know, it's like we've been through, you know, people don't understand the process of getting to this point. It's not so much what you do on the field. It's like what you do off the field. Okay. And decisions that you have to make. And we had to make some tough decisions, like opting out and like not hanging out with his friends and like going to different camps. And it wasn't the most favorable decisions for Jamar at that time. So I had to make some tough decisions. Jamar had to buy into it. And then like, this is the end result to it, you know? So we didn't always see eye to eye on everything that we had to do, but I had to be a father. Right. And I had to understand that he didn't understand what I was trying to do. And he finally bought into it at the end. And now he's happy that I did what I did. But it really was a process at the time, you know.
Does he express that? Does he say it now?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because he thought I was crazy, you know. Like, you see, you know, his story was, my other friends ain't doing that. And I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. That's your other friend. That's not you. You gonna do what I say.
How did he almost go to Kansas? I mean, LSU's program versus Kansas program. I read that he was going to go to Kansas. Is that right?
Oh, you did some homework, huh?
I studied up a little bit. I know a little more Jamar than I knew yesterday.
Well, they went to Kansas on a recruiting visit, right? And all his friends from New Orleans was there, right? And they put him in a Kansas uniform. And they start playing this rap music, and they had a video shoot, you know, and they had the boys all hyped up. And it's like, man, somebody said, man, what if we all go to Kansas? And everybody was like, oh, yeah, that'll be dope, you know. And they're playing that Kodak Black music. And the next thing you know, everybody went to committing, and Jamar fell right in line. You know?
So he almost did. And then how did he end up at LSU?
Well, that was another fight, too, you know. Coach O brought the whole team, the whole coaching staff to the house, right? He said, Janet, I got to get that boy, right? We're going to be a good team. I just got to get that boy. I got to get your son. So he brought the whole coaching staff to the house. And, like, I was like, Jamar, like, nobody does this, right? He's got the whole coaching staff here. He's like, yeah, everybody do that. I'm like, no, he got offensive coaches and defensive coaches, right? So I'm saying, like, they might really, like, want you. And after that, he started looking at LSU differently to see that they really wanted him and not just was, like, tolerating him. And he kind of, like, bought into it. But that was a process, too.
So you didn't call him Eddie Baby. Like James calls Nick Saban Nicky Baby. And I'm like, I don't think anybody else is calling him. So you didn't have – you did a little imitation there of Ed, the voice. I like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody could do that in Louisiana. But that's what that's how he talked to me. Jimmy, I need your son, Jimmy. That's all I knew. I just need your son.
I always picture the kids at halftime saying, what in the hell did coach just say?
You just can't get him excited. Once he gets excited, I don't know what the hell he's saying.
But he's a lot. I know he's already gone from there. That's amazing how quickly that happened. But he seemed like a lot of fun.
Oh, he is. He's real. He's a real good guy. You know what I'm saying? He takes care of his players. And he looks out for them. But on game day, I don't talk to him on game day because he turns into another person. You know?
So what happens when the Saints play the Bengals? How do we handle that?
Well, you know, the city of New Orleans already is torn in half, right? Like, everybody loves Jamar down here, and they love the Saints too. So I've been doing a temperature check, and some of the Saints diehards, they're still going to root for the Saints, but they're going to wish the best for Jamar. So it's going to be crazy already.
All right, so if Rocky flies me down on his private jet to New Orleans, he's going to laugh at any of these ideas. But where are we going in New Orleans? Where are you taking them? Give me a couple of stops that you would recommend.
We're gonna go to Mr. Ed's, right? Get you some oysters and some red beans and stuff like that. And then we might go on Decatur Street and get some beignets for you. You know what I'm saying? And then we find a couple of little spots, hole in the wall spots, just to hang out in and shove down a couple of beers.
So I want the hole in the wall. I want away from the tourist traps.
Right, right, right. But you got to get some of this tourist stuff, though. You know.
Well, the perfect ending to this this season is going to be what? Lions, Bengals, Super Bowl. That might be a stretch, but for you and James, Ooh. That would be pretty cool, huh?
What? That'll be crazy. Okay, because like, you know, we had that same thing going with the LSU Alabama thing, right? He's lucky that, you know, I like his son. Okay. Other than that, I wouldn't deal with him, but because they're Alabama. Like, we don't deal with Alabama. This is the first Alabama people I ever dealt with. But anyway, we're taking in stride. He's family now. You know what I'm saying? He's family, and we're just going to, like, hope the best man wins.
Well, it's fun to talk to the NFL dads and see these young kids making it at the next level. And Jimmy, we've never met, but I'm going to write down all those things you said about my wife's in the room. We're going to come down to New Orleans to visit you.
Oh, okay. That's no problem, bro. Y'all just be ready, okay, because it's nonstop.
All right. Well, let's have a great season for Jamar and Jameson.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, that was a lot of fun for me. Two guys I don't know at all. I had never met James Williams before, never met Jimmy Chase. And his was via Zoom, but you get sort of the personalities there of these two NFL dads. And again, it's a show that Rocky Arsenault and his team are thinking about putting together. Different perspective, going to every single game that your son plays, traveling around the NFL. And I never really rooted for the Bengals until they were playing the Rams in the Super Bowl. Hard not to like Joe Burrow, hard not to like Jamar Chase. So we'll keep an eye on the Bengals a little bit in St. Louis this year. And whenever Jameson gets on the field in Detroit, that'll be fun to watch. So we've got some rooting interest here as the NFL season kicks off. We're, in fact, going to talk more NFL, more about the broadcasting and all of the major changes that went into this year with Al Michaels going to Amazon, leaving NBC, Joe Buck going to Monday Night Football. Our guest later in the week, Andrew Marchand from the New York Post, breaking down the major shuffle that happened in terms of the network announcer. So a little bit of football-related content this week on the Kilcoin Conversation. You can always find our segments at scoopswithdannymac.com, that great website started by the Cardinals broadcaster Dan McLaughlin. He's having a lot of fun these days with all the Albert Pujols hype and the Cardinals being on a great run. Danny Mac's website, also Spotify, iTunes, all of our segments. And if you subscribe, then everything is delivered directly to you. And we've got great sponsors. Hopefully you support the sponsors. B&G Tuck Pointing, the best in the bricks, bgtuckpointing.com or 363-0525, 314-363-0525 for all your tuck pointing needs, waterproofing, and foundation repair. Triad Bank, since 2005, based right here in St. Louis. All those decisions made right here in town. Talk to my buddy, the CEO, Jim Regna, or just stop by the lobby and meet the fine folks at Triad Bank. Appliance Discounters, where they not only have great merchandise, but also a really good service team. So if you have a repair need for stove, dishwasher, they'll get out there within days. You don't have to wait weeks. Call them up and set up your repairs through Appliance Discounters. TheAppliancedIscounters.com if you need a kitchen item or a whole new kitchen. Get it at Appliance Discounters. And Marie Davila Senior Living, great spot. I was going to say our friend, Red Shandon. I was, I don't know why, I got caught thinking about Red there for a second, but he lived there for many years at the corner of Clayton and Wideman Road. Just a wonderful spot for your retirement years. Again, assisted living, villa estates, beautiful campus. If you ever drive up and down Clayton Road, you'll see it. Fountains will be red in October for Cardinal playoff baseball. They turn them blue during the spring for the Blues playoff run. Really festive folks, Mary Kay and Fred Wiesehan. Great folks at Marie DeVilla Senior Living. That'll do it for the Kilcoin Conversation. We'll talk to you again soon.